Daniel chapter number 9 this morning. Daniel chapter number 9, move right into the message. I asked Ryan, I said, have you got the children's message? And he went like this at me. And I said, okay. I said, you must be wanting to get out of church early. And he nodded. So we ask that you pray for us this morning. I've studied the past 3 days and read, and this is the only scripture I could really settle into. Ty had texted me this morning. He said, preacher, can you open up? I don't have anything. I said, I don't have anything to open up, anything to teach Sunday school, anything to preach. And he said, I got you covered. So thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for you being here. Ask for your prayers this morning, and you pray that God will help us. We've got some lengthy text in Daniel chapter number 9, and I'll give you just a minute to get there. If you're in the New Testament looking for it, you're way off. Amen. It's back in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter number 9. If you found your place, would you say amen?
Amen.
Look with us in verse number 1. The Bible says, in the first year of Darius the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and thy oath is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. And now our Lord, our God, has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown. As at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name.
Amen.
Amen. If you look at the book of Daniel, you'll see the book of Daniel is a prophetical book. And the book of Daniel correlates along with the book of Revelation in that it is prophecy of the end days. You'll see that Daniel was in there, and it's almost a biography of Daniel. And you'll see the feats of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach. And you'll see Daniel being tossed into the den of lions. And you'd see some different characters pop out. But the more you read through Daniel, you'll begin to see that there's a lot of imagery of beasts and elders that are prophesied in this book. And there has been so much theological debate about the book of Daniel and concerning the last days that we're living in this generation. You'll see there has been a lot of theological debate about the book of Daniel. And Daniel's chapter 7, 8, and 9 are the cue books which a theological debate would partake in, that one would have an understanding this way, another may have an understanding that way, and another may perceive it another way. Might I say to you this morning, a lot of folks would say, "Preacher, I have a hard time understanding and learning some of the words that are in this book." Let me say this to you. The Bible teaches us, and the New Testament, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to man liberally. The Bible is a spiritual book. The Bible is a living book. It is not just any other textbook. It is not any other encyclopedia, but the Bible contains historical facts, but yet it is a living book. Even in the year 2018, the Bible is still much alive today. And I'll say this to you, it is not finished. It is still being written, and there's things that are still in our New Testament and prophecy in our Old Testament that are taking part in the day and age that we live in. You'll find in your studies that Daniel was prophesying of the end days. He was prophesying in chapter number 9 of the coming Messiah. You'll see just a few paragraphs over that Gabriel comes down, and Gabriel's also in the New Testament, but he comes down and he touches Daniel and begins to speak to him on the messenger of God and begins to share insight unto Daniel. You'll see that Daniel had studied in chapter number 9 in the early verses after Jeremiah the prophet. He had seen the nation of Israel and its desolation. He had seen the rebellion of these people, but yet even after preaching and even after prophesying, the people would still turn about with the world's gods. And you'll see that Daniel in chapter number 9 is on his face in prayer. This is simply Daniel's prayer on behold for the nation and for the Israelites and for the people that were to return to God. Might I say to you this morning, it would do us good as children of God to fall on our face for this nation that you and I live in. Honey, I'm telling you, listen to me. I know America's not what she used to be. I know it's not what it was when you were a child, but it would do our people good to fall on our face before a holy God and beg and plead with God for a nation that's a reproach, a nation that's full of sin. Honey, on the national level, but it would do us good to get on a church level and to pray for our church people and to pray for our leaders in our churches and to pray for those who have fallen away. Might I say to you this morning, we are living in some of the most sinful and so most desolate times that America has seen. I understand there's a fact of starvation across our nation of people that are going hungry, but let me say this to you. There is starvation in the house of God that people are not being fed of the bread of God, and they are being told fables and stories. Can I say this to you this morning? I truly believe the days of Jesus' return are drawing nigh unto us, and I believe, honey, we're living in those last days. Boy, I can't help but feel this morning deep inside of me that we are in those days, Brother Robert, when Jesus will soon step out on the eastern skies in a cloud of glory to call his children home. I want you to notice first, number one, this morning, I want you to know the national sin. Daniel recognized this morning in verse number 5. He said, "We have sinned." It was not just one failure, but it was a compilation of multiple failures. It wasn't just the church had failed. It was a compilation of the whole nation of Israel. Can I say this to you this morning? We could point and say, well, this is when the liberalism started, or that is when it started. But might I say to you this morning, it has been a national sin for this country to be in the shape she's in. God, help us that we live in a day and age when pornographic material is accessible to our young people and to our middle-aged people and to our seniors. God, help us when drugs are running rampant in our families and alcohol is being painted a portrait to our men and women of this society, and that people are so accessible to sin. Can I say this to you? I understand. You say, well, preacher, if he's the God of the earth, why is he allowing this to take place? Might I say to you this morning, it is the works of the prince and the power of the hour, who we know is our enemy, who we recognize this morning as the great deceiver, who we know this morning is the great liar. He is painting a picture in America this morning of a nation that's living liberal, a nation that's living wildly. Who would have ever thought that in the year 2008, 18 and 2017, men would not know which bathroom to use. Women would not know which bathroom to choose. In the year 2018, man has came to a place that thinks he is God and knows what gender he's supposed to be. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, God created you. He knew you in the very womb. He named you in the very womb. The David and Jeremiah both said that God knew me in the womb. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, we're living in a day and age that the deceit has taken our families down roads they should never go. We see this morning Daniel recognizes the national sin. Not only this morning, but Daniel does not recognize the national sin, but he recognizes the church's sin. He said in verse number 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Can I say this to you? Undoubtedly, listen to me. I realize in year 2018, preaching like this is not widely accepted. Traditional services are not widely accepted. And it has came to the point and place that our churches have failed our nation. Amen. Listen to me. It is our churches who have failed our nation. You say, well preacher, what do you mean by that? Listen to me, I understand, and I firmly believe this morning we serve an unchanging God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Honey, I realize this morning it is the same God, honey, that Daniel served. It is the same God that the weeping prophet Jeremiah prophesied. It is the same God that Isaiah served. Honey, it's the same God that rolled the stone away. It is the same God. He's never changed. But honey, I'm telling you, it is our churches who have failed. You say, preacher, it is our churches that failed. We have failed as preachers behind the pulpit to preach what thus saith the Lord. We have people that have itching ears, a heaping of them fables and stories that are pleasing to their hearts. Honey, I'll say this to you this morning. Hell is hot unless you go through the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll spend eternity in a place called hell that will be cast into the lake of fire, and there you'll be forevermore. Your only hope is Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Right. Notice, not only do we see the church's sin, but I want you to notice this morning, we see a national sin, we see a church sin, but we also see a personal sin. Verse number 11, the Bible says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Brother James, as I begin to look through this and begin to study, and God begin to show us some things in this, we see a national level of a recognition in verse number 5. We see also the church's sin, but yet we see the personal sin. Can I say this to you this morning? We are a type of people that wants to make sin better. The first thing we want to do, we want to compare what we do to so-and-so over here. We first say, well, it must not be that bad because they've been doing it. Listen to me. I want to say this to you this morning. Your neighbor is not the final authority. Your preacher is not the final authority. The other church member is not the final authority. God is the final authority. And in God's word, if he has deemed it sin, it is still sin. You and I would like to categorize our sin and say, well, this isn't as bad as that. Or this isn't as bad as that. Honey, let me say this to you this morning. If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. Can I say this to you this morning? Our church houses have become filled with murderers. Preacher, I've never took a gun and I've never shot anybody. But have you slandered someone? Right. Our churches are full of thieves. You say, preacher, I've never stole anything. I've never took anything that was not mine. I've never went into the convenience store and knowingly stuck something in my pocket and walked out without paying. But the Bible teaches us in the book of Malachi that we're thieves because we have robbed from God in tithes and offerings. The Bible also teaches us this way. You say, preacher, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. But our churches are filled with liars. God help us in the day and age that we become men and women where our word once stood. Let me say this to you. Have you ever noticed when you go and buy a car, you've got to sign like 30 papers? Brother Lewis, that about kills me. The last car we bought was Miss Hannah's, and we went down there and we decided we'd want it. We had to come back the next day for a book of paperwork this thick. We signed here, initialed there, signed here. We agreed to pay this, and we were going to pay this for that long. And we were signing stuff that I'm not even sure. I think we signed to put it on the ark when the hurricane hits. Not even sure. And they don't give you any time to really sit there and read it. And you got all this fine print. But Lord, Brother Ricky, they're just hurting on, sign this, sign that. They don't really want you to see what all you're signing. I'm pretty sure one of them, something within it said, if we didn't pay for it, we owed them our soul. I'm pretty sure of that. But how many of you remember a day and time when a man agreed that he would do something, he'd done it? How many of you remember a time that when somebody says, you can take my word for it, honey, I'm going to tell you this, we can't take anybody's word for it. God help us that we live in a day and age where our Christians are failing the lost and our churches are failing those who are grieving and desiring to have something. May we be a people that turns back to a God that says, God, we have forsaken your words. We have forsaken your ways. And God, we have forsaken you as a church. We have forsaken you as a nation. And God, we understand that the reproach is poured out upon us and the curse is poured out upon us. God, make us a people that rejoice in thee. I begin to think about this, and as I went through this, there were some verses that came to my heart. The Bible teaches us in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse number 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Can I say this to you this morning? Daniel didn't expect the preacher to do it. Daniel did not expect the church to do it. Daniel did not expect anybody else to do it. Daniel took a burden for his own nation. Daniel took a burden for his own people. Daniel took a burden for his own church. And he said, God, I know we're wicked. God, I know we're sinful. God, our land is suffering. Our land is in destruction. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, in the year 2018, of what you see on TV and the accusation that's being presented and the disgust that's filled our living rooms. Honey, I'm telling you, we're a nation that's walked far from God. We're a people that's walked far away from the law of God. Might I say to you, we need people that'll get on their face and say, God, help us. Amen. Can I say this to you this morning? We understand that there in 2 Chronicles, this was a prayer of pleadings of help. I'm worried what life will be in 10 years for my daughter. I'm worried this morning what life is going to be in 20 years. I was sharing the testimony of the church with somebody this past week, and I just want you to look around. I know there's a lot sitting in here this morning, and we've still got a lot that's out. And as a preacher, sometimes we get caught up on who's here and who's not here. But I sure am thankful you're here this morning. But I was sharing with somebody, and we were talking about this. Actually, Rusty, it was that man that wouldn't ever hush that we talked about that came in our shop. And I said, you know, we live in a day of discouragement. I had a gentleman in my Bible college during my studies when I was there that he made this statement to him when I was 23 years old, and Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle had called me to be their pastor, and Anna and I was getting married, and boy, I was excited. I was just like any other young man. I thought, boy, we're going to save the world. We're going to set fires and people's going to get saved. And boy, all this is going to happen. I want to say this to you. There wasn't a whole lot happening about the first 3 years. But I knew early in that college class, I really had respected this teacher. I really had thought a lot of him. He'd been pastor for many years, but he said some crushing words. There, about 6 months into my ministry here, I was talking to him after class, and I said, "Yeah, man, I'm excited about what God's going to do." And I began to share the church with him. I mean, we was running about 12 then. Now, you imagine, I was preaching to 12 in a sanctuary this size. And I'll never forget the words he said. He said, "Young man, I'm telling you something right now. No independent, fundamental King James Bible preaching church will grow in these days." Now, I'm going to say this to you. If that doesn't discourage you and take the air out of your hot air balloon, you're crazy. I mean, a man that's in his 60s, a man that has served the Lord and pastored at a church over 20-some years. And boy, that just deflated my balloon. And there for about 3 or 4 weeks, that's all I could think. I wanted to throw the towel in. I wanted to give up. But Brother Bud wished on. I thank God for Brother Bud and Miss Jerry. And I'll say this, Brother Bud told me about a year into that. He said, "Preacher," he said, "if you're ever going to amount to anything," he said, "you better give them people at least 5 years. About the 3-year mark, I was ready to wave the white flag. Boy, we had grown. I couldn't figure out. People got mad at this one. That one got mad at that one. This one was upset with me, and that one was upset with me. And boy, they left quicker going out than they did coming in. I said this Wednesday night, and I'll say it again. I'm better at emptying pews than filling pews. I have that gift, and I'm thankful for it. Amen. Brother Shue knows how it is. I'm better at emptying in them. And I was sharing, I'm not going to give you his name because I think a lot of, but I'll say this, my little girl takes after her daddy. She don't really know a stranger. She'll just warm up to you. And once she warms up to you, you're done. She'll talk about anything. And I like to talk, and we were talking, and I said, "You know," I said, "I've never forgot them words." I said, "I've never, Brother James, I'll never forget him looking at me that night, and it dark, and the rest of everybody else had left. And I felt like this tall. I thought, man, there's no need to continue on. There's no need to fight it. Brother so-and-so's been in this thing real long, and he done told me how it was going to be. But Brother Bud Wishon had passed by, and he said, 'Preacher, stay 5 years.' And I thought, if I stay 5 years, I'll be one of those suicide numbers. I begin to see God work. And every now and then we'd see somebody get saved. And then every now and then we'd see somebody else get saved. And then all of a sudden we'd have this join the church or that one join the church. And I got to 5 years and I thought, Lord, I did what Brother Bud would encourage me to do. And I've stayed 5 years. I feel like I've done everything I can. I feel like I've preached everything I can. And Brother Bud passed back by. And Brother Bud said, 'Preacher, you need to stay 5 more years. I thought, Lord, this man's done lost his mind. Honey, we're going on that 5th year mark, and Brother Bud passed the other day, and he smiled at me, and he said, 'Preacher,' he said, 'I'm glad you didn't give up.' He said, 'Preacher, I'm glad you didn't give in. Preacher, I'm glad you ain't threw the towel in. Preacher, just stay and preach a while longer.' Honey, what you don't know was they was some sleepless nights over in State Road. That me and my wife would be praying. That I'd be out of my bed in my office about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd say, 'God, we're wicked people. God, have your hand upon it.' Honey, I'm telling you, I'd like to get that teacher and bring him by and say, 'Look at what God can do. And look at what God is able. He's a God that can't hear. He's a God that can't do this like you said. But my God can. My God is able. And my God can restore a country in this day.'" You said, "Preacher, what happened? That man won't speak to me now. I've prayed over and prayed over it time and time again. And occasionally I'll see him out and he'll just look at me. I know he thinks we're one of those compromisers, but there ain't nothing changed. I'll say this to you this morning. God is able to touch a church. God is able to touch a person's life. You say, preacher, what's happened? I thank God for those just in this summer that's got born again. I thank God that we can have two baptizes. I thank God that people still walk the aisle. Honey, when salvation is preached, honey, I'm telling you how we live in the discouragement days of our churches, and people says, well, it won't change. It won't happen. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, a God can, a God able, and God will. You say, preacher, are you sure about that? We just need some folks that'll say, God help us. Amen. We're about done this morning. I want you to notice not only this morning out of the book of Chronicles, but I want to share this with you, and I'm moving real quickly this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3 says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But I'm glad that Paul didn't stop there. I'm glad that he didn't stop there with Timothy. But he said this, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelist. And make full proof of thy ministry. Brother Shu, I could not help but think that Paul sensed that when he was writing to young Timothy, he's going to be discouraged. He's going to read this and he's going to sit down and say, well, if the time is coming and Paul, who has been faithful, is telling me there's going to come a time where they won't listen, I'd come a time, Brother Odin, where they won't care, that I ought to just lay it down. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, just because everybody else ain't doing it, you still ought to do it. Just because the other preachers ain't going to preach it, you still ought to preach it. And just because everybody else is sitting down on God, honey, I'm telling you this morning, endure all things. Honey, just stay faithful. Honey, just watch, because our Redeemer draweth nigh. Honey, be found faithful. Do the work of an evangelist. And just because your neighbor don't want to hear about Jesus, that doesn't mean there ain't somebody at Walmart's dying to get saved. Honey, be faithful. Stand and make full proof of your ministry. Not only that, this morning, and I'm about done, there is coming a day of judgment. Daniel recognized that in Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel recognized, Brother Hodeen, that the time was short. He began to prophesy later in chapter number 9, you can read that on your own time, that the Messiah was coming. Jeremiah, the prophet, recognized that Jesus was coming. Isaiah the prophet recognized that Jesus was coming. You and I this morning have the luxury of knowing that Jesus came. In the Old Testament, their only hope was try to live by the law. Their only hope was to make a sacrifice through a priest to make the sacrifice. Their only hope was simply, they were simply just covering their sin up underneath a rug. And they hope that the scales weighed out in their balance. You and I realize in Matthew chapter number 1, after 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that Jesus was here. Can I say this to you this morning? What amazes me is all the historical facts in the Bible, science cannot disprove them. Science has to acknowledge there was a man named Jesus. Science has to recognize there was a flood. Science has to recognize that the children of Israel, by their historical documents, was in the wilderness for 40 years. They cannot disprove it. They just try to discredit it. But let me say this to you this morning. I know that He lives. I know that He's not in a tomb. I realize on this Sunday morning, at the second Sunday of the month of September, that we are meeting on the first day of the week simply because Jesus has rose from the dead, and we and I are gathered here this morning to worship and to celebrate a living King. Can I say this to you this morning? When they began to stone Stephen, had Stephen looked to the heavens and he seen Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father? Might I say to you this morning, the Apostle Paul recorded that he is sitting on the right hand making intercession intercession for you and I. He also said that he is the man, Christ Jesus. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, history cannot tell you that Jesus was not here. But I'm glad to tell you, in those 33 and a half years he was here, he was hung on an old rugged cross. He shed that blood that you and I could be washed whiter than snow, that you and I could know that we know that we know we're born again. Honey, I'm telling you, as we begin to look at the prophet Paul, Paul began to tell us he's coming again. He's coming again. Honey, I'm glad this ain't as good as it gets. I'm glad that he's going to prepare a place for us and that he will come again and receive us into himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Honey, I'm glad this life ain't as good as it gets. I'm glad this ain't our only hope. Daniel just said he was coming. I'm telling you, he's coming back. And when he comes back, he'll come back with the trump of God and step out on those eastern skies. And as he wrote there in the book of Thessalonians, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, honey, this incorruption must put on, or this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this immortal must put on immortality. Honey, I'm glad in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'll be changed in a body like his. Amen. You say, preacher, that's all fine and well. Are you sure Jesus is coming? I would die believing that. Preacher, I'm 70 years old. I've heard it preached since I was 5 years old, since I was knee high on a grasshopper. Some of y'all ain't never been that little. The one we've been praying for, Rusty will tell you. Cody Dudley, I love him. He made the comment one day, some of y'all know who he is, Brother Tim, I know, does, and Ty. He's always been a big old boy. He's come to church a few times, and we're trying to get him to come on. And I'm going to tell you this much. I took him hog hunting Friday night, and he walked about 4.5 miles. And I'll say this. I've never seen a 500 man be so tired. He told me, he said, preacher, I don't know if I can come to church in the morning. I said, come tomorrow. We'll work the soreness out. And he said, I've seen you 3 days. I'm good. But he'd always make the statement. He said, Brother Bill, when I was littler. And I said, you ain't never been little. He'd say, when I was smaller. I said, you ain't never been small. And he does so well with it. I said, listen, I said, Cody is really not fat. A lot of y'all think, oh, preacher, you stand in front of the mirror and you go, oh, I'm fat. I got to lose weight. No, 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 no. The Bible teaches us in the book of Leviticus that all the fat's the Lord's. See, after service, and I'll give you that. Preacher, I need to lose weight. No. I'll tell you what your problem is. You are vertically challenged, but horizontally gifted. Amen. Some of you ought to shout on that. Some of you say, preacher, I've heard this preached my whole life, that Jesus is coming. I'm here. I'm 70-some years old. Are you sure he's coming? Honey, I'm as sure he's a-coming as the Word of God recorded it. Honey, I'm telling you, we've never seen a day and age what man is seeing. We've never seen such wickedness on the face of the earth as we are in these days. We have never seen a time when man is lovers of themselves. Honey, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. Now, preacher, that's good, but I'm here lost. Honey, I can tell you this morning, I know the remedy for your soul. Honey, I know the balm of Gilead that for your soul. Honey, I know this morning that you can know that you know that you know that if Jesus was come again, you'd be translated to where he is.
Right. Amen.
Preacher, how's that? There's no other name under heaven whereby man must be saved. Preacher, how can I know that I'll avoid the fire? You can know that you know that you know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Preacher, how can I know? Honey, I'm glad you can pray and believe and seek God holy with your heart, as Daniel has for a nation, as Daniel has for a church, as Daniel has for an independent. Honey, you can seek him with your face and seek him with your tears. I promise you this morning that the Bible says, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Honey, it's not God's will that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Preacher, is there hope? There's hope for our families. Preacher, you don't know how bad I've been. Honey, you don't know how bad them thieves on that cross had been when Jesus looked at the one and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So, preacher, you don't know where I've been and what I've said. You don't know what I've done in my spare time. You're right, I don't, but God already does. And God's brought you to this place this morning to tell you there's hope. Honey, I'm telling you, there's hope for your marriage. There's hope for your church. There's hope for your nation. There's hope for your community. Preacher, how do you know there's hope? He's still God. That's how I know. And you say, preacher, how do you know? He's been faithful in the midst of the storm. He's been faithful when nobody else could. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, he's the best thing that's ever happened to me. He's the best thing that's ever happened in my life. Sure, there's been some heartaches, but it's been well worth serving him. His heads are bowed and eyes is closed, and Brother Dan comes this morning with a hymn of invitation.